You're listening to Wake Up Call on the SportsMap Radio Network. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right. Thanks to Kaylin Kaler. I'm glad she enjoys the QB2 life? Has an affinity for backup quarterback life like we do. Glad there's other people that enjoy that role
I saw that. I was just like, oh, wait.
Oh, she's right up our alley.
You're our people.
That's right. She, too, probably had to look up where Shepherd, West Virginia was located.
She had to.
And if Easton Stick was his real name.
I mean, she probably looked down at Tyson Bagel. Yeah, I did that on purpose. Probably looked at it and she saw Shepherd and probably did what most of America did. Like, oh, he didn't even go to school. He was just a shepherd.
Just tending sheep on a hillside.
Where do they pluck him out of? Where do they find him?
What is this, 5 BC? There's still people who do that.
He could have been from New Zealand.
I'm not in like Scotland and Ireland. I'm sure there's plenty of people who do that. Does anybody in America still like?
I'm sure there's shepherds in New Zealand.
Shepping? Oh no, in America.
Yeah, but wouldn't? No, that's what I'm saying.
Around the world, I know they exist.
Wouldn't you say someone who has a sheep farm, isn't he a shepherd?
Probably, yeah. Yeah, you're right. In the sense of the word, yes. Is he holding a staff to fight off the wolves?
God, I hope so.
I hope so, too. That would be great. So anyway, she loves the backup quarterback. Got a podcast called QB2. That's right up our alley.
When she drops the next one, I'm going to keep
tabs on
her.
I like what she said when she goes, like, she said, we always think it's the most backup quarterbacks. It's about the same. Yeah, it probably is, but it just feels like they're going down like flies around the NFL.
Yeah.
And backups are now enjoying the fruits of that.
Well, I mean, we feel that it's unique, too.
Right, exactly.
That each one of them is a unicorn. Like, where do they find this guy?
Where do they find this guy? It's like we can outdo each other. You want to find a more obscure guy.
Honestly, all these backups are exactly the same quarterback.
Seriously, kids, I got a little message for you. If you're a young quarterback, don't go to Alabama or USC. Go to, like, South Monroe State. I swear to God, it will help you. You'll get a job. You'll be in the league for 20 years. You'll bounce around. You make a good paycheck.
I'm going to test you right now. Is that a real school?
No. I was just going to say, go to a place no one's ever heard of. Because the ones that go to USC and go to Notre Dame and go to Georgia, they just fizzle out and disappear and become broadcasters. But you, if you went to, I don't know, Shepherd, you end up as a backup and you end up bouncing around the league for 15 years, making six figures, seven figures sometimes.
Yep.
You know, hang on. It's a great gig. All right, let's go around the NFL week 13, starting on Sunday, leading into Monday night. We're going to start in Nashville, where the Tennessee Titans will take on the Indianapolis Colts. I said this earlier today, kids. The Colts are a legit presence in the AFC playoff picture. I have zero idea how they're doing this. Zero. Like, Jonathan Taylor, didn't he have a thumb injury? Isn't he going to be out a couple of games?
Yeah,
like 2 or 3 weeks. But Jonathan Taylor isn't even a rushing leader on this team. That's Zach Moss, Gardner Minshew.
Does Jonathan Taylor even play?
Yeah, I don't even think he plays.
Patrice Falls in the Forest.
I don't think he plays enough.
Think he plays enough either.
But that's like the big story. He's undergoing thumb surgery. But Zach Moss is the guy. I don't know how they're doing it. That's basically what I'm saying.
Don't doubt the stash.
That's right. Don't doubt the stash. Anyway, they're looking for the season sweep of the Titans, who are – Tennessee is 4-7. They need a miracle to get in. But the Colts do not. The Colts could lose and still be around the muddled middle AFC playoff picture. But they're playing really good. But Tennessee, all of their wins have come at home. Listen, that's all I got for you. It's an AFC South battle that's not one of the premier rivalries. So take for that.
That's about all you can say.
How about Chargers-Patriots? All right, so apparently in New England, Bailey Zappe is going to start, even though this will be another one of those dramatic, big announcements that nobody cares about. But the Chargers better get off the horse. I mean, get on the horse and get rolling.
If the Chargers lose, which, you know, I could see a scenario where they do.
Right.
Does Brandon Staley get the flight back home?
No, I don't think so.
You have to fire him there, right?
I think you'd have to fire him. You'd be doing everybody a favor.
Because this is a very, very winnable game for my Chargers. And it'll be disappointing, but I say not surprising if they were to lose this one.
Who owns the team? Who's the owner? Dean Spanos, is he dead?
Who?
Good question. Whoever the owner is,
yeah, I don't.
Might be one of his sons. Whoever the owner is, you think before the game he's going sunny 300 days a year out in Southern California, Bill?
No, it still says
just letting
Dean,
you know.
Still
says Dean
Spanos.
Spanos.
Yeah.
See, I don't know. I play a lot of games.
I thought he had passed it on to Alex.
I did too. I thought he passed it on to his son. But you think he goes up to him and goes 350 days of sunshine, man? Beautiful beaches.
Yeah.
You could sell that Cape Cod house. Buy yourself one on. What is it? Newport Island? What's out there in California?
Well, you got Newport Beach.
Newport Beach. I mean, why did I say Newport Island? That was stumped.
Yeah, that's not
Newport
well,
Beach.
There's Balboa Island, which is right off of Newport.
Yeah, go out to Southern California. It's beautiful.
Yeah.
All right, nevertheless, that could be happening. That's it. The Chargers should be in meaningful games now, guys. They should be fighting for the division.
They should not be
fighting for the fifth seed, if not the division. They're not. This is very disappointing. Patriots, I get. They haven't figured out the Brady thing since Brady left. But not this team. This team is way too talented to be 4-7. Seriously, in all seriousness, even if they win and they win barely, do everybody a favor.
The streak is still alive. They're 0-what? I can't remember the stat. It was like 0-11 in games that were decided by 3 points.
That's right. Yeah.
Including 0-5 or 0-6 this season. I mean, it's ridiculous.
That's coaching.
Yep.
Lions at the Saints. So here's the thing with this game. The Lions played bad on Thanksgiving. We all saw it in the beginning of the game. They gave up too many turnovers. It allowed Packers to build a lead. Even though the game looked close, it wasn't really close.
Yeah, they fought back.
But it was 8-3. They're still in great shape. They're on top of the NFC North. You have one of these. You dud every now and then. It's no big deal. Here's the cool thing about the Saints. They're 5-6. Michael Thomas is on the IR. Derek Carr has been all right. Good some games, not so good in the other games. Doesn't matter because they're tied for first place with the Atlanta Falcons in the NFC South.
Big winning record, right? The winning record?
8 wins maybe is what you need. Maybe 7. I don't know. All you got to do is get around that and you're going to win the division. Who's running away with this division? Nobody.
Yeah.
Not them.
They're both
not Atlanta, not Tampa Bay.
They're both 5-6.
They're both 5-6 fighting for that.
And Tampa's 4-7.
Don't ever change NFC South. Don't let me down. Keep doing what you're doing. This is fun. It's fun when lousy teams are like, we're in the playoffs. Isn't this awesome?
In fact, you know what's funny to think about? Carolina has a better chance of making the playoffs right now than the Patriots do.
That's exactly. Exactly. 7-10 might do it. What do you know? Panthers could go on a 6-game win streak.
Yep.
Who knows? But anyway, nevertheless, it stinks when a team like Seattle loses last night and they're 6-6 and like, hey, fighting for their playoff lives. And the Saints and the Falcons are going to be enjoying a home game. But that's the way the NFL is, everybody. So Lions and Saints at the Superdome.
What did I see? I saw something recently that, it was like a question, like, are fans getting tired of Derek Carr?
I'm getting Saint tired
fans.
Of Derek Carr.
I know you are. But it's Saints wire. Here it is. How many years are the Saints stuck with Derek Carr's contract?
I think it's a couple of years and $150 million worth of putting up with Derek Carr.
Oh, that honeymoon ended quickly.
Really much so, yes. Speaking of the Atlanta Falcons, who are tied for first in the NFC South with New Orleans, they're going to play the Jets, who I don't care if Aaron Rodgers is riding a bike and running the New York City Marathon. He should be nowhere near this football team.
He'll be on the sideline, though.
Seriously. What, cheering on Tim Boyle? Giving him advice through the headset?
Does he give advice through Zach Wilson to Tim Boyle?
You think so?
Or is he allowed to go direct connection?
Tell Tim he should do this. Yeah, whatever. Good
or
for
is he
Aaron
gonna
Rogers,
go to, Or is he going to go to Robert Saleh and go, dude, just put Trevor in now.
Just stop. Jets. Terrible. Terrible, terrible. All right, but nevertheless, that's at least for the Falcons. They got everything to play for. I hate to say it like that, but a 5-6 team. Hey, they are battling the Saints for that division. The Jets, no. Maybe, I don't know. I'm trying to think of something good for the Jets, and nothing is coming out. So there you go. I'm leaving that alone. How about the Cardinals versus the Steelers? Now, the Steelers are home. They should win this game. But these are the kind of games that trick them up. The problem I have with the Steelers is they hang around too long with teams and they don't score enough points. And the Cardinals may be bad at 2-10, but they're fighting 2-10. They're not laying down. They're not awful, like they're not going to put some points up. I'm worried about this game because the Steelers don't score enough points, even though Matt Canada is gone. They're going to need to score some points because the Cardinals can score 17, mm-hmm. right? And the Steelers score 16 a game. This is a sneaky game. This is where a late fumble, a late interception, this is where you get messed up. Ask the Dallas Cowboys. That's exactly how they lost to this team earlier this season. You let them hang around, and then you throw in interceptions in the end zone. That's what I worry about. But the Steelers are 7-4. Cardinals have yet to win a road game this year at 0-6, 2-10 overall. But the Steelers do feel like without Matt Canada, they can breathe. All right, we got the rest of the early afternoon games, the late games, Sunday night game, and Monday game coming up next. The value of the NFL schedule as we continue. It's Wake Up Call, Sports Map Radio.
This is Wake Up Call. SportsNap Radio Network. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
One quick programming note, I will not be here Monday. I am flying to Florida later today to attend some family business and see my son and deal with that. So
why am I just finding out about this
I
now?
Know, a little long weekend. So
what do you mean you get a three-day weekend?
We're going there. My wife's mother passed away, so we're dealing with the estate stuff, but we're just taking our son to dinner. That's all we have time for.
Or is that all he has time for?
That's all he has time for.
Yeah, exactly.
He has time for. We went to a family weekend one time. We literally felt like we were intruding on his life. We just invited ourselves. We didn't even ask him. We said, we're coming down for family weekend at the University of Florida. He's like, yar? And I was like, yeah, what is that? Well, there's stuff to do on Saturday and Sunday. And he was like, okay. Okay. And I could just tell. He was like, I got 1,000 things to do that don't involve you. So we called it off early and went
Too
to
funny.
Orlando. Yeah, that's what happens when they get older. They just less of you, more of them. All right, let's get back to the NFL schedule as we continue along this weekend of games. We're going to go to Washington at FedEx Field, where the Commanders are taking on Miami. Miami's a quiet 8-3, aren't they?
Yeah.
I hate to say that, but...
You know, I'm going to say this. They're the second quietest.
Yeah, they are the second quietest because we don't even talk about Baltimore as much as we
not
should.
At all. And so much so, you're not going to even talk about it today because they're not playing this weekend.
Yeah, they're not playing this weekend.
but you would have noticed if they were or weren't.
Problem. I looked it up because here's their last five games, and I think there's a reason why. It's a loss to the Eagles. It was a loss to Kansas City and Germany. It was winning against the Patriots, the Jets, and the Raiders. I mean, they're not popping, but they're still good. This is another one of these games that could get lost in the shuffle of games where Washington kind of stinks right now.
Yeah,
they're not playing good. They've lost like three in a row, and you know they're 4-8, and the Dolphins could beat them like 27-13, and you'd totally forget it happened if you weren't a fan of either one of these teams. So I say it's still valuable, obviously, because the Dolphins are in a four. Did you know everybody in the every division winner is right now 8-3?
Yeah,
isn't that crazy?
It's nuts.
That's crazy. We don't have a solid number one seed. We have tiebreaker number one seeds, but we don't have the solid by two games they lead this or whatever. Everyone's 8-3 that leads every division in the AFC, and the Dolphins are one of them at 8-3. I think this is a great game coming up. I think this is maybe the game of the early afternoons, because there's a better game late. But of the 12, for us it's 12, for East Coast it's 1. Broncos and Texans.
It's sneaky.
It's
a sneaky good game. I mean, it's something at the beginning of the season, you saw this and you were like, well.
Sure.
Yeah, I guess they have to play.
Sure.
But now it's, I'm with
6
you.
6-5.
It's a
five-game win streak.
Tony, it's a playoff game.
It's a playoff game. The Texans 6-5, and boy, you better get them because they are again. Here's what I'm impressed with the Texans. When they're losing games, they're fighting like mad. You know what I mean? Like even against the Jacksonville Jaguars, they missed a 56-yard field goal that snapped a three-game win streak. C.J. Stroud's awesome. But you know what? The Denver defense is awesome. It's way better than it was at the beginning of the season. like I said, you're in the muddled middle group of playoff teams in the AFC, and none bigger than these two right now at 6-5, turning what people thought was going to be a waste season, dump season, turning it into something. Well done, both of these teams. And I agree with our guest at the top of the hour, Kalen. I think it's Houston that's more impressive to me. CJ Stroud, it shouldn't be this good. He should not be anywhere near this good, his rookie season. And he is. He is. And it's great. It's absolutely great.
He shouldn't have him in the, he should be, I'm not saying, you know, he should, the Texans should only have one win, you know, but they should be around the 3-4 win mark.
All right. Buccaneers and Panthers. Oh, boy. Anyway, Chris Tabor is the guy that's taken over the Panthers on an interim basis. In case you wanted to know who's the head coach of the Carolina Panthers. Who is he? Don't know. What are they going to do differently? Don't know. How is Bryce Young going to do? Terrible. Those are the things I can tell you about the Panthers. The Buccaneers, though, are not as good as they started out. When the Buccaneers started out this season with Baker Mayfield, they were kind of hot. They were 3-1, but since then, they've lost 6 of their last 7 games. So, one good thing, I guess, is Shaq Barrett's going to honor his daughter with the cleats, his late daughter.
Nice.
That's very nice. Very nice.
So don't fine him, NFL.
Yeah, don't. Well, I think it's cleats weekend.
I know, but I'm just saying. I mean, just I think the NFL finds ways to fine people just because.
Well, I'm not on cleats weekend. I think isn't the point you can wear what you want?
Or any weekend.
At this time. All right, Browns and Rams coming up in SoFi Stadium. The Browns are, like, here's my thing with the Browns. The Browns at 7-4 look like any moment they're going to self-destruct. Like,
yes.
A Mission Impossible message.
Well, and you know, fate is trying to get them to self-destruct.
Exactly.
You know?
If somehow Kevin Stefanski rolls, and he's still the head coach, right, Kevin Stefanski?
You know what? Okay, I'm glad you brought this up. You can't fire Kevin after this season.
No.
You have one of the best running backs in the game. What happens? What was it? Achilles, right?
Yeah, out.
Was
week
Achilles
two.
Or ACL?
I don't remember. But week two,
but
he was
out for the season.
His knee got crushed.
Okay, yeah. And then you have one of the best, you know, top quarterbacks in the AFC. He's done.
He's done.
You bring in your backup quarterback. Nah, we don't need him. Get him out of there.
Even Myles Garrett is banged up.
Right, Myles Garrett's not playing anymore.
Yeah, like it's just. Like,
this is the one time I'm like, dude, don't fire Stefanski. He didn't do anything.
He is taping this thing up with old scotch tape with like cat hair all over it. It's lost his adhesive.
He is sitting there holding a glass of bourbon, watching game film, going, I don't know what to do. I don't know who to put out there anymore.
Yeah. Remember that Spider-Man movie where Spider-Man had the webs trying to stop that train?
Yes.
He just kept throwing web after web after. That's Kevin Stefanski. He's pulling the web to stop the runaway subway train. It's closer to the edge, and he's. That's Kevin Stefanski.
Need some people to bring him in.
Hanging on for dear life.
Yeah,
7-4. He's hanging on for dear life.
Don't fire Stefanski.
No. Let him roll through this and get to the finish line and start all over again.
Exactly.
Let him have, all right.
Fire him when he's not making playoffs with healthy guys.
Well, the disappointing thing is that if you are stuck with the Panthers, Buccaneers, or the Browns, Rams, you're not getting 49ers, Eagles, the late game on Fox, the big Kevin Burkhardt, Greg Olsen game.
I see what you did there.
Yes, I did.
You kind of just rolled over those other two.
Which ones? Which ones did I miss? Those two other games? No, the Panthers, Buccaneers, and Browns, Rams. If you are watching those locally, you're missing the big one. 49ers, Eagles. So, yeah.
But
what else do I want?
Yeah.
49ers, Eagles. What else do you want to say about this one? It's an NFC championship rematch, but not quite. Right? Unless we have 4 quarterbacks playing for the Niners, then we can equate it to last year's game. This is the game we were wanting last year.
Yes,
we wanted this last January. We didn't get it.
And I have a feeling we're going to. All right. Hear me out, right? We really can't sit back and go, it's a full-on rematch. Because, I mean, I have a feeling.
No,
I just have a feeling. I have a feeling the 49ers are going to blow the Eagles out of the water.
You think they blow them out at the link?
I think so.
On the road?
I think so.
Okay. I'm
buying. Throwing that out there.
I'm drinking that Kool-Aid.
I really think they're going in there with the mission. Eagles play everything way too close, and they keep finding ways to win, which I'll give them credit for. But this is something where you can't allow the 49ers points in the first half.
I got to think when all of these guys say things like, we just take it game week in and week out. Every game's important. I think the 49ers were like, okay, we go back there in week 13 and let's really show them what they could have had. I think there's a little extra motivation to go to Philadelphia and beat this team. Not just because it's a game on the schedule. Because last year, we really were robbed of a game. We really were robbed of an NFC Championship game. Was it Josh Johnson? Playing before Purdy came back just to hand the ball off?
Yeah, it was Josh Johnson, but Christian McCaffrey was warming up.
That's right. Christian McCaffrey was warming up. What a disaster.
Yeah, and it was a blowout.
The
Eagles blew out the Niners. I mean, the Eagles didn't try to blow them out. It was just like, well, I guess we're just going to score.
We know exactly what you're going to do on every play. You can't throw it.
Yep.
So, you know, this is what's
That's why I say I think the Niners, I'm not saying it's a statement game, but the two things that involve here is the Niners want to show what they are actually able to do. And the Eagles play everything too close where they allow teams to score points. And that's something I don't think you can do with the Niners.
All right, Sunday night, Chiefs and Packers. Don't look now. The Packers are in this race, too, in the NFC, in that middle group. They're 5-6. They're not great. They're young. And the Packers and the Chiefs, well, they're 8-3. And again, three other teams are 8-3 in the AFC. So every game's kind of important if you want that first round bye. So that's your Sunday night game. And then Monday night, Trevor Lawrence and the Jacksonville Jaguars taking on Jake Browning and the Cincinnati Bengals. That should be a great Monday night matchup for Buck and Aikman. There you go. That is your NFL schedule for week 13.